Welcome to Classic Comedy of Old Time Radio. I'm your host, Ron Eckelbarger. Put away your toothpaste and get out your soap, because here comes the Bob Hope Show, and he has a brand new sponsor, Swan Soap. This is episode number 390, and it originally aired on October 19th, 1948. Here now is Bob Hope with his special guest, Bill Veeck.
Well, I swan.
Me too.
So do I. How about you?
Yes, it's the new Swan Show with our great singing star, Doris Day.
Well, I swan.
A new discovery, Bill Farrell.
How do you do?
The four hits and a miss, the president of the Cleveland Indians ball team, Bill Veeck, and the new Les Brown Band.
We use one exclusively. How about you?
Yes, how about you?
Who, me? My name is Robert Swansea Hope.
And now, Bob Hope, Swan's Eye View of the News. New York, New York. This week, a board of artists selected as the five most virile-looking men in the country, Clark Gable, Victor Mature, Lou Boudreau, Governor Earl Warren, and radio singer Jack Smith.
Of course, you can see they made a terrible mistake. I don't know how they picked that Gable over me. His chest measures 42 inches. I've got the same measurement, and besides, he can't take his off. And Jack Smith was picked. He has a smile in his voice. You know how he gets that giggly effect, don't you? He's the only singer who wears a turtleneck sweater with live turtles. Of course, this isn't the first time Lou Boudreau has won a contest. After the World Series, the girls of Cleveland voted him the man they would most like to slide into home with.
Detroit, Michigan. The nation's car owners were getting their first look into the future this week as the new 1949 model started rolling off the assembly line.
Yeah, those new cars are really low slung. One driver on Sunset Boulevard looked back, saw a pedestrian still standing, and said, "Just my luck, I had to pick a bow-legged one." And there's so many automatic gadgets on those new autos, they're almost human. One of them is wonderful. When you see a woman driver coming your way, you press a button, the whole car folds up into a submarine and dives into the nearest manhole. But those new midget cars are very practical. When the engine starts missing, you don't need a mechanic. You just throw it over your shoulder and burp it.
Los Angeles, California. It's top hat, white tie, and tails for music lovers here tonight as the curtain rises on the 1948 opera season at the Shrine Auditorium.
Opera, that's a chorus of 25 arguing with F.E. Boone over who's first again with Spaghetti Men. Boy, was that opera opening a ritzy affair. All the women came dressed in their best furs. I heard one mink coat say to another, "Don't turn your nose up at me. I knew you when you were eating lettuce in the San Fernando Valley." I caused quite a sensation with the outfit I was wearing. I don't know why I was only wearing a cutaway coat, but I didn't know you weren't supposed to wear cutaway pants. It was the first time anybody ever saw shorts made out of swan wrappers. And boy, was that opera house really jammed with people. I wondered why it kept snowing in the second act of Il Trovatore. Then I found out I was watching it through the popcorn machine in the lobby.
Paris, France. The Security Council of the UN returned to normal this week as, after 10 days of sulking, André Vyshinsky finally broke his campaign of silence.
Don't think it was easy for Vyshinsky to keep the silence. For 10 days, he had to quit eating borscht. Imagine Vyshinsky going to the UN and not talking. That's like Artie Shaw going to a wedding and being best man. The Russians say they can't do anything until they get international cooperation. International cooperation. That show us how to make the atom bomb, and we'll show you where New York City used to be. Thank you. Say hi. Glad along. It's time to sell the stuff.
Sorry, Bob. I'm just not up to it tonight. I can't do it.
Hi. The Lever brothers have turned up their ear trumpets. They're waiting.
I'm afraid not, Bob. It's impossible.
You better force yourself, or you'll be back at your old job rolling bandages for young Dr. Christian.
Come on, make with a pitch high.
Oh, Godfrey, if only I could. If only I could tell the folks about the beauty of a bar of mild, pure swan floating majestically in the kitchen sink. But when I try the vision of those velvet, rich, creamy suds, those suds that are so kind to your hands, why, it leaves me speechless. I just can't say a word.
I'd swear I heard something. Maybe it was just the rustle of his taffeta waistcoat.
Well, don't mock me, Robert. I'm trying. Gad, how I'm trying. I long to tell the people that Swan gets dishes done quicker because those glamorous, beautiful Swan suds rinse away so completely, you don't have to do anything.
You know, folks, you could avoid all this if you just go out and buy the stuff.
I long to tell them that Swan lasts longer because it's firmer, that it washes more dishes per penny. But then I come to that line, that lovely, poetic line. Swan is made by a modern patented process that no other... process that no other soap can use.
I don't bother you, do I, Daddy?
You know, Bob, that does it to me. Why, it's like an ode from Keats, a sonnet from Shelley.
Sounds more like a plug from Lieber Brothers.
Inside, my heart is crying. Use half in the kitchen, half in the bath, and you'll find that Swan is the best soap afloat. But I can't say it, Bob. I can't say it. And so, Bob...
Yes, hi.
There will be no commercial.
Tune in next week, folks. There'll be no high Averbank.
Well, I swan.
Gee whiz.
That's right.
Hi, Cracky. There's our junior baritone, Bill Farrell, biting into the hit parade with Maybe You'll Be There. Enter, Bill.
I see a crowd of people. Just like a fool, I stop and stare. It's really not the proper thing to do, but maybe you'll be there. I go out walking after midnight along the lonely thoroughfare. It's not the time or place to look for you, but maybe you're there. You said your arms would always hold me. You said your lips were mine alone.
Now after all those days you've
known me, how can it end like this? Someday if all my prayers are answered, I'll hear a footstep on the stairs. With anxious heart I'll hurry to the door, and maybe you'll be
week. Look out. Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis will be with us.
Well, folks, you've all heard the old saying, it pays to advertise. We've often wondered what it would be like if a presidential candidate's campaign was handled by an advertising agency. So let's look in on one of the country's biggest advertising geniuses.
Good morning, IQ.
Don't waste time on words, Miss Wilson. I'm a busy man. Have to go up and do the skywriting myself this morning. Can't trust those skywriters.
Yes, I noticed yesterday in the Pepsi Cola ad there was a hyphen between every letter.
I know. The pilot was drunk and he got the hiccups. Have to do everything myself.
Gee, just look at your plane out there, Chief. It's got bullet holes in it.
Yeah, I got caught in the airlift over Glendale. I have to do everything myself.
Is that what made you so late, boss?
Well, that was part of it. I had to stop at the hospital and spend some time in the maternity ward.
Oh, is your wife there?
No, she couldn't make it. I have to do everything myself. I tell you... Incidentally, Miss Wilson, bring for the song team I hired to write advertising jingles.
Okay.
Did you call for us, Chief?
Yes, have you finished that jingle about old stepmother's whiskey?
We sure did, IQ. Now just listen to this.
Old stepmother bourbon is just the thing for a whiskey fizz. Drink a quart when you feel sad. Drink 2 quarts and you'll drop dead.
Back in the dungeon. That ought to get about 500 new members for Alcoholics Anonymous. I'll send for you later.
Right.
Oh, Chief, there's a gentleman waiting in the lobby to see you. He says his name is Faultless J. Quink.
Faultless J. Quink. Well, that's the man I've been expecting. His party has paid us $50,000 to handle his campaign for the presidency. Show him right in and leave us alone.
Right this way.
How do you do, sir? I presume you're the advertising wizard, IQ Hope.
That's right. Glad to meet you, Mr. Quink. And I might say that you look like real presidential timber.
Oh, I'm not Quink. I'm Murphy, his campaign manager. This is our candidate right here.
Pleased to meet you.
Is there a party for a candidate like that?
Mr. Murphy said you can get me a lot of votes, Mr. Hope. He said that you could get me plenty of support on November 4th.
Yeah, but what's going to hold you up till then? Now, let's get started on this campaign. We've got to make Faultless Quink look like a typical candidate. Quink, can you raise a mustache?
Well, I raised one once, but I had to shave it off. It made me lose my balance.
Well, IQ never gives up. Maybe you can still look like a candidate. You got any glasses?
I thought you'd have the glasses. I brought the booze. Oh. I mean, you don't have to worry about Faultless J. Quink. His record is clean. Tell about yourself, Faultless. When you were a boy, didn't your mother want you to grow up and be president?
She wasn't sure I'd grow up.
Well, we're not getting started on this campaign any too soon. The opposition is pouring a steady stream of propaganda over the radio. I'll switch it on and show you.
The following is a political announcement paid for by the Republican Party.
Dewey is a dapper Dan, that's why I'll vote Republican. He's got good looks and a lot of dash. I'd like to kiss him on his cute mustache. Tickle, 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 tickle.
There you see. But don't worry about it. I've already got my boys working on some hot copy for our client. Now, Quink, is there anything in your background the opposition may use against you? Did you ever do anything you were ashamed of?
Well, yes, there is.
What is it?
Well, I never told anybody before.
Come on, Quink. Now, what did you do?
Well, I hate to admit it, but when I was young, I used to sneak into the campfire girls' headquarters and let the air out of their marshmallows.
Well, you caught yourself just in time. That's how Humphrey Bogart got started. Murphy just put down that our candidate is in favor of deflation.
By the way, IQ, how are we going to get that southern vote?
I'll figure out something. Quink, you got any relatives in the South?
Well, I used to have an uncle in Kentucky.
That's great stuff. Mark it down, Murphy. Just think of it. He's got an uncle who's one of the first to find old Kentucky colonels, a pillar in his community, a citizen who was both trustworthy and honest.
He was a horse thief, and they hung him to the highest tree in the town.
Climb to the highest tree in town. What'll I write down, IQ?
Just say that everybody looked up to him. Now, the next thing we'll do...
Hi, Chief.
We got it. We got it. The campaign song for Faultless Quink.
Is it good?
It's great. And you know what, Chief? We tied it up with the names of all the products you advertise.
Oh, good. Let's hear it.
If you want the country cleaned up, cast your vote for Faultless Quink. He's had cleaning up experience using Drano in his sink. He dresses in the latest fashion, arrow shirts and things like that. Even when he takes a bath, he always wears an Adam hat.
I'll say it. He uses Tums and also scents and shaves his legs with an ever sharp chick. He could never be offensive because he gargles with air wick. That's Quink. Day with one of her favorites, written by Les Brown, Sentimental Journey. This Doris Day, ladies and gentlemen.
Gonna take a sentimental journey. Gonna set my heart at ease. I'm gonna make a sentimental journey to renew old memories. I've got my bag, got my reservation. Spend each dime I could afford. Like a child in wild anticipation, I long to hear that all aboard.
Seven,
that's the time we leave at seven. My heart could be so yearning. Now why did I decide to roam? I'm gonna take a sentimental journey.
Very good, Doris.
Oh, thank you, Bob. Say, I haven't seen you since you took me to the Los Angeles Dons football game Friday night.
Yeah, it was great. Say, I hear Hi Eberbach was wonderful announcing the game.
Oh, gee, I wish I could have heard it.
Well, I just happen to have a record of the broadcast with me. Doris, would you like to hear it?
Oh, wonderful, Hi. Play it for me.
Okay. What a game. The score is tied. Just a few seconds left in the fourth quarter, and the L.A. Dons are on the Baltimore 5. It's fourth down and goal to go. The ball is snapped, and Dobbs crashes through center. There's a terrific pileup on the goal line. And there's the referee's whistle. Is it a touchdown? The referee raises his hand. What a thrilling moment. You've never seen such soft, white hands before. You can tell he uses Swan.
Take it easy, folks. Either we sell it this way or I have to spend Saturdays in Thrifty's window scrubbing Sydney Greenstreet's back. Hi, let's get back to the game. Did they score?
Of course, Bob. Swan always scores.
Isn't he sneaky?
Just try Swan in the bathroom and see how the family goes for those rich, creamy suds. See how wonderful your skin feels after a Swan bath. And there's none of that unpleasant, taut, soapy feeling because Swan rinses away rapidly and completely.
You're telling me I tried it last night and it took me 5 minutes to climb back out of the drain.
So don't forget, folks. Don't forget, whether you've got your eye on the scoreboard or the washboard, you'll find Swan is a winner every time. Use half in the kitchen, half in the bath. Wherever you use it, Swan is the best soap afloat.
Well, I Swan.
Me too.
Gee whiz.
That's right.
Bye, Cracky.
Went down to Virginia. No one sent for me. Went down to Virginia to see what I could see.
Well, he found the horses fastest and the gals the best, and the spirits of the state are guaranteed high test.
Gee, I'm glad I came down to Virginia. This nice little southern town, too. There's the village square, there's the courthouse, and there in front of the courthouse is a statue of a real southern hero, Phil Harris. Took cement to make him stand up. Boy, here comes a real Virginia Belle. I think I'll try out this southern hospitality. I beg your pardon, miss.
Yes.
Well, I'm a stranger here in town. I come from up north.
Up north? Shonuff?
No, Cleveland. That's right next to Shonuff. You see, miss, I don't know many people in town. I thought maybe we could get acquainted.
Well, I don't usually talk to strange men unless they talk to me first. But anyway, my name is Doris Ellie Mae Barbara Jean Margaret Lee Marcia Peggy Ann Susan Beauregard.
I'll just call you We the People for short.
Well, what's your name, Sugarfoot?
Robert, but you can call me what my friends call me.
What do your friends call you?
Robert, I've got very dull friends.
Well, now, I do declare, honey, you're the cutest little old boy I ever laid my eyes on.
Well, say it slower.
Well, tell me, honey bun, are there any more up north like you?
No, after they made me, Russia stole the plans.
She went down to Virginia and didn't know a soul.
No wonder folks befriend you, their hearts are made of gold.
They are the civic-minded citizens, are all so kind. They see to it you hook a fish in every line.
Gee, Doris, we've been going together for quite a while now. When are you going to ask your father when we can get married?
Well, now, you know how Daddy hates northerners.
Well, I'm not afraid of your father. I'll meet him face to face, and I'll get out face to face, and I'll get us...
I'll meet him that way, too, if you don't mind. And I'll get his permission to marry.
Oh, my stars. Won't it just be wonderful when we get married and y'all come home from work and I've got the chitlins waiting for you? Oh, by the way, darling, do you like chitlins?
Yeah, I'm crazy about chitlins. I hope her first one's a boy.
So he stayed down in Virginia. That's how much he'd been sold.
So blessed the day that brought me here. And bless the folks I love so dear.
Oh, hello, Daddy. Look what I brought home with me.
What's the matter with you, daughter? Ain't we got enough boll weevils around the place now?
Oh, this ain't no boll weevil, Daddy. This is Robert.
How do, boy? Say, I hope you ain't a northerner.
Well, I...
The last time I caught a northerner on my property, I whipped him till he was a cherry red. Then I chopped him up in little pieces and fed him to my hound dog. Where'd you say you was from, boy?
Oh, black-eyed peas and candied yams, and that's what I like about that.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Robert. Go on, Robert. Put the question to him.
Okay, so, as you know, I've been sparking your daughter for quite some time now.
You really stuck on her, eh, boy?
Colonel, to me, she's just as pretty as a baby ham hanging on a hook in the smokehouse.
And, daughter, are you gone on Colonel Hope?
Oh, I sure am, Daddy. To me, he's just a vanilla-flavored, sweet, molasses-covered, sugar-coated honey boy.
Please, you make me feel like one of Cougat's nougat.
Well, appears like there's going to be a wedding. Doris, I wish your mother could be alive to see her beautiful, blonde, blue-eyed daughter getting married.
Tell me, did Doris look like her mother, Colonel?
Shucks, no. Her mother was the ugliest old bat in Virginia. That woman's face was so ugly, she had to wear a bonnet with slats. Boy, she was triple ugly. No man in the whole state would come near her.
Well, how'd you come to marry her?
Oh, I don't know. Just lucky, I guess. Well, good luck, you.
And it's stay down in Virginia, Virginia.
Yes, sir. Right now, folks, it's a pleasure to introduce a man who brought showmanship to big-time baseball. A guy who, in a great measure, was responsible for bringing the world's baseball crown to Cleveland. The former Fighting Marine and now president of the Cleveland Indians Baseball Club, Mr. Bill Veeck, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks a lot, Bob. Certainly a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's good to have you, Bill.
You know, I've been sitting over here watching the show. You've got a lot of rackets, haven't you?
Well, don't look at it that way. Let's get down to business. Did you bring my share with you?
Bob, take it a little easy. You know, we haven't counted all that dough yet.
There's a lot there to count to. I wish I could help you. But look, Bill,
Seriously, with me, money is secondary. The thing that matters with me is sentiment. You see, I have a great fondness for the city of Cleveland. After all, I grew up there, and I love that town.
That's a wonderful attitude, Bob. Of course, I had a check here for several thousand dollars, but because of your attachment to Cleveland, you won't want it.
Shake hands with a tourist. It's swell having you here. We both have so much in common. For instance, we're both big men in the sports world, aren't we? Well, we're both big men. Well, we're both men. Call for Philip Morris. But I hope you appreciate the great moral support I gave the Indians when I was back there for the series.
Moral support? Bob, you really embarrassed us back there.
How?
Well, whenever Lou Boudreau sent a player to the showers, he looked so silly, run along behind him, yelling, "You swan, you get more bubbles."
Yeah, and I had to run in for my free seat in the bleacher. I mean, my seat in the bleacher with the... I had to run in for my seat in the bleachers to do it.
Bob, you had a real good seat, right at the north end of the stadium.
Yeah, it was north, all right. It was so far north, there were two people next to me wearing fur coats and rubbing noses. And a guy kept coming around selling hot blubber on a roll.
Gotta keep your family working some way.
What do you do, write stuff on the plane? What are you doing? Well, I want you to know that I was ready to get in the game anytime you wanted me, Bill. Of course, you know I'm an all-round athlete.
Bob, I could tell you were an athlete the first time I laid eyes on you. Just take a look at those big, broad shoulders. The tremendous chest and lean, hard stomach and the bulging biceps.
Honest, Bill?
Truly.
I have so much more than gorgeous George. Why should I fight him? But you know, Bill, around Cleveland, they tell me that you seldom wear a tie. Is that right?
That's right, Bob. And after that tie of the Red Sox, I'll guarantee I'll never wear one.
That was rough. I don't blame you. That American League playoff left me a nervous wreck, too. I chewed my fingernails all the way down to my wristwatch. But seriously, Bill, everybody from the Cleveland bat boy to the president...
We thank you so much.
Next week, ladies and gentlemen, we welcome those two young comedians from Night Spots, Theaters, and Radio. Really the sensation of the past year. The team of Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis, ladies and gentlemen. Come in, boys. Thank you very much. Bill Beck. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Here on the wall is my hair, fairest of them all.
It is when you use Rave Cream Shampoo. Rave leaves your hair so clean, so soft, so easy to manage. Easy to manage because the pure lanolin in Rave is specially blended with other ingredients to make hair behave, even on shampoo day. Try Rave Cream Shampoo, now sold at new low prices. R-A-Y-V-E, Rave Cream Shampoo.
From Hollywood, California, Swan Soap, another fine product of Lieber Brothers Company, has presented the Bob Hope Show with Bill Veeck, Doris Day, Bill Farrell, Les Brown and his orchestra, and yours truly, Hi Everybody. You should have listened to Fiddle McGee and Molly, which follows immediately on most of these shows.
William Lewis Veeck, known as Bill or Sport Shirt Veeck, was born in 1914. Now, his nickname, Sport Shirt, came from the fact that he never wore a suit and tie, as you heard Bob joke with him about on the show today. And you can see that on the picture on our website that Bill is not wearing a jacket and a tie. Bill grew up in baseball. His father was the president of the Chicago Cubs. Now, in 1933, when his dad passed away, Bill became the treasurer for the Cubs. He then became co-owner of the Milwaukee Brewers in 1940, and as owner of the club during World War II, he joined the Marines and for 3 years worked in an artillery unit where he lost his right leg. That's something else you'll see in the picture of Bill on our website. You'll see that his right leg is artificial. In 1946, Bill Veeck bought the Cleveland Indians, and made moves that brought the team to where they won the World Series in 1948 over the Boston Braves. And that was why Bill was on Bob Hope's show, is because they had just won the World Series. Moves he made not only helped the baseball team, but showed what kind of a person Bill Veeck really was. For instance, in July of 1947, he signed Larry Doby. He was the first black player to play in the American League. Jackie Robinson, the first in Major League Baseball altogether, was in the National League with the Brooklyn Dodgers. But in the American League, Bill Veeck signed Larry Doby. Doby says that when he was introduced to his teammates for the first time, that every one of them shook his hand, but three. And Doby says, quote, "As soon as he could, Bill Veeck got rid of those three," unquote. That shows you what kind of a guy Bill Veeck was. He wouldn't put up with racism and bigotry. The following year, Veeck signed Satchel Paige to a contract, making him the oldest rookie in Major League history. And both Doby and Paige contributed greatly to that World Series run in 1948. Well, to settle a divorce with his wife, Veeck had to sell the Indians in 1949, but he later bought the St. Louis Browns, and then after that, the Chicago White Sox. Bill Veeck was a consummate showman. Some people call him the P.T. Barnum of baseball. He did things like actually having, during doubleheaders, an entire circus performance in between the games. Probably his most famous stunt happened in 1951 with the St. Louis Browns. He hired Eddie Gaedel, who was 3 feet 7 inches tall and weighed 65 pounds. And he dressed him in a uniform with the number 1/8 on the back, sent him up to pinch hit against the Tigers in a major league game. Well, Gaedel crouched, and the guy's strike zone was super, super small. He ended up being walked on 4 pitches, and he skipped his way to first base, and then a pinch runner took over. Well, the very next day, Major League Baseball banned dwarfs from playing baseball, which I don't know exactly how legal that is, but Veeck just basked in the publicity, which he needed given the fact that the St. Louis Browns were about the worst team that there was. But he said to reporters that his tombstone would probably read, "He sent a midget up to bat." But Veeck said, "Well, I'd rather my tombstone say, he helped the little man." Well, those are some stories about who Bill Veeck was. He died of cancer in 1986. He was 71. Please send your questions and comments to host@classiccomedyotr.com. Come back next Wednesday for another episode of The Bob Hope Show. And make sure you have your soap with you instead of your toothpaste. Check in on Friday for the next installment of The Life of Riley. Please go to our website, classiccomedyotr.com, and support our show. Until we meet again, in the words of Ann Landers, at every party, there are two kinds of people, those who want to go home and those who don't. The trouble is, they're usually married to each other.